Hello.
Mr. Kirby, David Walsh here. How are you doing?
Okay.
I guess Jim Ennis indicated that I'd be giving you a call. Working on the story for Naval History Magazine out of the United States Naval Institute in I wonder if this is a okay time to talk to you for a few minutes. I won't take up too much time.
Okay, I'll be fine.
Thank you. First of all, I'm a lefty and I take bad notes, and it would save on note-taking if I could take electronic notes here if we're going to be on the record. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Jim told me that you had indicated to him that the attack on USS Liberty was not an accident, as our Israeli friends have claimed, and that you'd seen the transcripts of tapes that had been made showing that the Israelis had overheard.
I helped review some of the stuff afterwards, and to me it certainly did not appear to be an accident.
When you were brought back into the agency in order to review the information on the incident?
Yeah, I still hold all the clearances. So when something like that happened that I was involved in, I was coming back in on the scientific advisory board and some other things. So I simply came back in and looked at that stuff when it happened.
Mm-hmm. And from the first time, I mean, from that time to this, the explanation from the Israeli side has been that it was a tragic accident of war and mistaken identity on the part of their pilots and their torpedo boat crewmen. Why would they say such a thing?
I really don't know, except it must be a matter of policy, like so many other things with any government. But it did not appear that there was any opportunity for really mistake after things started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there just was so much information, including, I believe, the fact that there was some information on the pilot-to-pilot discussions.
Mm-hmm. And you had found that there were, Hebrew linguists who had overheard this, either on the ship or in that EC-121 AWACS-type plane that was flying in the area?
Let's assume it was probably in the EC-121, because there's still some things that are not really discussed openly, so...
Right.
But at any rate, it had been looked at by qualified linguists, and there was discussion in identifying the target.
Qualified linguists at NSA?
They were qualified linguists, yes.
Okay, regardless of where.
That's right.
Was it the opinion based on such information that led the seniors at the agency, including Pat Carter and Lou Tordella and Mr. Dealey, Mr. Morrison, et al., to believe that this was a deliberate action?
I believe that's what they believed, but I really only know what I believe. I talked with some of them, certainly with Dr. Tordella. He and I were good friends always, and so it was the opinion. Is their opinion that it was very difficult to accept that it was an accident?
Mm-hmm. Because you, after all, had the tapes.
That's right.
Yeah. Was any of this in clear clear broadcast on the part of the attackers?
Too long, I don't remember, but I would assume yes, that the air-to-air was probably in the clear. I have no reason to believe otherwise.
Yeah. Mr. Crystal seems to take some issue with these points. Do you know who he is?
I've only heard, what I've heard is that his sort of out-of-the-blue commitment to the fact that this had to be an unfortunate accident, very few people have put much stock in his credibility.
Yeah. Do you know Mike Levin?
Yeah.
Mike also suggested that I give you a call. He, however, said that the opinion that it was a deliberate attack once the information started coming into NSA was just that
right.
You know, people were angry at the time, and you know, they lost people, and that it was their ship that was attacked, and that basically that this was sort of without foundation. The people, their first knee-jerk reaction was that it was deliberate, but he told me that he thought that, you know, it was just, as I say, anger rather than anything informed.
Well, it wasn't anger, it was shock.
Yeah.
And it was not knee-jerk, it continued. And the more information was looked at, the more certain people were that it was difficult, and that's all I'm going to classify it, that it was. Because all I can go by is what my own feeling was, but it was difficult to believe that this was an accident.
Well, impossible, given, again, the transcript,
that's right?
Right?
The transcript spoke against any possibility, but that it just was not believable that it was an accident. Let's put it that way.
Are these transcripts available as yet, or do you know when they might be?
I don't know. I would think that they may still be around. I doubt that they've been declassified. But I would think they'd still be around. But I really don't know.
Do you know if LBJ was told about this, our president?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. Because I was not in the loop at that time, and so I don't know. But I'll tell you this, that anything of that sort always went to the presidential staff. Now, whether it was to LBJ directly or to some of the other Secretary of State, some of them, it would have gone to someone on what we call the president's staff.
Were you surprised that there wasn't any United States reaction, or even, you know, getting the torpedo boat crews or the pilots over here to be interviewed, to testify in any form or fashion?
I was surprised. Mm-hmm.
And possibly not entirely thrilled by that.
No, I was surprised, but. Unfortunately, I'd been through some other things where the reaction at presidential and that level was not what I'd expected, so I can't say that I just was totally overwhelmed by surprise that nothing happened.
I understand. Do you know anything about the MoLink traffic, the hotline, Washington, Moscow, that had anything to do with this?
No, I don't know. I know nothing about anything other than just the normal things that I came in contact with. There may have been more, but I didn't try to dig into it beyond what I felt was enough to make up my mind.
But you were called back specifically to analyze.
No, I really went. I was there going in and out on a lot of other work that I was doing. And so in the process, I simply talked with a couple of people, like my replacement, Joe Morrison, had replaced me earlier. And I don't know who it was that took me in and let me take a look at this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's been my baby, the TRS is why I was very interested.
Exactly. And did you have a chance to discuss this either at that time or subsequent with any Israeli intel?
No, I did not. No, I never touched base with anybody else. Just the U.S. type.
Did you discuss this with anybody in the media before?
No.
Well, I want to thank you,
most things I have not talked to anybody about unless someone found out enough to ask me the right question, and then I could check and see if it was okay and talk at least as much as I thought was okay.
You know, there's, of course, the Cryptologic Museum at Fort Meade that has the memorabilia of the Liberty.
Yeah.
Something I heard, which I don't know if you can confirm it or have any feeling about it. I'm told that there's a naval museum in Israel which displays the wheel from the lead motor torpedo boat and some other stuff, almost as though they're honoring the attack on the Liberty. That seems to discomfort some of the veterans of the U.S. Navy who are on board.
I haven't heard that. Would me too, but that's why.
Well, do you have anything that you're doing by way of writing? Any memoirs in process? Anything of the sort?
Nothing that touches on that. No. I have helped provide some information for a book which is now published called Sacred Secrets by the Schechters. And it has a lot of information on another facet of my occupations at the National Security Agency.
That would be a Venona paper?
Yeah, Venona stuff, yeah.
Yeah. which is a fascinating story in and of itself. You were, just to be a small amount of background here, Army intelligence during World War II?
I was with the Army, yes, but I served with the British at Bletchley Park. I served with the British Royal Marine Commandos and the occupation forces, dealt around people up. So really I was up in the British zone more than I was in the American zone, but I was always there as an American, and you went with the occupying forces who were the Royal Marine Commandos because they were the first in, and to find people and to find materials you needed to be with those forces. So as part of the Target Intelligence Committee, the British attached people who knew German and knew the cryptographic and knew other things, because I knew quite a bit about any military arms that the Germans had, things like that. It was just a hobby. Mm-hmm. And so I went with them and did initial interrogations, sorting people out to be further interrogated and looking for materials as we went.
Get into Operation Paperclip?
I vaguely recall, but I'm not sure. See, we had different names for them sometimes in that area.
Well, the idea was that there were a lot of knowledgeable Germans who could be of help to the United States in the Cold War era.
Yeah, that's, it turned out to be that way. I don't know that I ever thought of it, but the ones that we found were important enough that most of them went over to England for interrogation, for discussions, and what happened with them after that. I didn't run into them much after that.
Some of them went into the CIA, like the Galen organization.
But some of them also became important in the government, and we did business with them.
Right.
On SIGINT operations and things like that, yes.
My dad worked with the Brits in Burma. He was an OSS officer in Detachment 101.
CBI up on the ridge, yes.
Exactly so. But is there any World War II material that remains classified? Mr. Colby, before he died, said that there was some OSS and that even some from the First World War, which I
don't know. I don't know. There could be, but I really am not aware of it.
Well, back on the Liberty, are you at liberty, so to speak, to go back to NSA and look into any of these files?
Good, but I haven't really had the interest. There's so many other things I'm kind of interested in that I really haven't done that at all.
So basically there were audio recordings that were turned into printed, possibly bound transcripts of the conversations between Israel's troops and its forces and their headquarters.
Well, they were typed scripts that I saw, so I'd say that's pretty close to a printed script, yeah.
And it was the Navy as well as the Air Force, I mean the pilots and the MTB?
I'm sure there were, but it's been so long, I can't sort out of the stuff. There's a lot of stuff to look at.
I understand, for sure. Listen, I want to thank you so much. If I have a follow-up or two, can I get back to you?
Be fine. Mm-hmm.
I am ever so grateful to you. That this is a terrific thing for the Naval History piece that I'm working on.
Okay, well, that's great.
You're a gentleman. I will certainly let you know the publication schedule on the thing.
I do. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hi, this is David Walsh. I spoke to your husband earlier and wonder if he might be available for a couple of more questions.
He will. He'll probably be back in about 15 minutes.
Very well.
But he's out right now. Could I have him call me?
With your indulgence, like to send him over your deck, so to speak.
Yes.
Thank you. Did you prepare a report from your analysis of the transcript or whatever it was that you were looking at, that you were tasked to do?
No. I just sort of was involved in looking to see if there's anything anybody else maybe hadn't observed or what, but mainly just to fill myself in on what had happened.
Well, did you call them and say, I'd like to come back on board and do this, or did they invite you?
No, actually, I was coming back into the agency on other functions that I had, as a member of scientific or of an advisory board,
mm-hmm.
And basically I was a consultant, an unpaid consultant.
Right.
And so when I was there and had reason to, somebody called me and said they had something interesting, it could be anything,
mm-hmm.
then I'd go I'd go by. So it was just being there. They didn't call me in specifically on anything on that.
When did you do that? When did you analyze these tapes and so forth?
Oh, gee.
How far after the incident was it?
Oh, it was... It had to be fairly soon after the incident because everybody was still all kind of excited. But I don't have it. I don't have dates. I don't really. My memory doesn't extend that far.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it just sort of on a routine basis. It wasn't a routine matter, but.
Well, you said that people were shocked by this. Did you want to find for your own purpose whether or not
That's exactly right. I wanted to see. How come?
Well, you were hearing at that point, I guess, the official, excuse by the Israelis that we just made an accident.
I hadn't heard much of anything like that. I had just heard from some of our folks that hey, this is a strange one. This is a strange thing that's happened, and so we don't quite understand it. And so I thought, hey, I better go by and see if I can understand it any better.
And you did. You understood that it was deliberate.
I just understood it was also deliberate. Yeah.
Yeah. Was your impression from the research you did that this was something ordered from the top, or some local commander, or just some trigger happy guys?
No way that I could figure that out. Except I believed that the Israelis normally had pretty good discipline, and I just couldn't see how something like this could have happened as an off-the-cuff accident based on some hotshot pilots or something like that. And there was other information said it didn't happen that way.
Right. Other information, what was that?
No, the information.
Approximately.
the pilots, the discussions, and so forth.
And you don't know if they were communicating just between boats and the airplanes or back to their headquarters. Do you think it was their...
I don't remember at this point. I just remember that the communications indicated that there certainly should have been plenty of identification.
Yeah, they had enough because it was a clear day and they were flying
right.
a flag and so on.
That's right. It was flying a flag and it was marked and... You know, there's a whole bunch of things. It's been in the middle of a big storm. You say, "Well, that's a problem, man." But no, it was that. Unless it had to be a reasonable day, so I just looked at it, and there's a lot of pressure in my mind at the time because I was looking at the information on daylight hours and things of that sort. So it looked like there was nothing in the way of poor visibility.
Yeah, you know that the CIA director Helms. Before he passed, said that he believed that this was a deliberate action, and of course, so did Mr. Marshall Carter and Tordell and
Carter Clark. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the U.S. subs or other submarines that were in the area, and whether or not they recorded or took?
No, I don't. We were all very interested in what could have been the reason that something like this happened. Was there something going on that was very important and that we would accidentally be, getting into the middle of something? But we couldn't ever figure that out either, and we spent a lot of time on that. I spent more time on that probably than anything else. Any probable cause that you could come up with, you know.
Did you deal with the Joint Reconnaissance Center and those folks on the tasking of these ships, including Liberty?
At that time, the tasking and all was laid on, and I was very familiar with the procedures and stuff like that, so I didn't worry about that. And I looked at what the tasking was, and I believe that it was just the stand. I believe it was what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out what could have made anybody
so concerned. You know, if there was some big build up that we were getting in the middle of or something like that, that would have sort of made some sense. But there wasn't anything. It just looked like, hey, here is a real reason. Here's a real something we didn't know about, something that we didn't understand. And it might have been a reason for something like this to happen.
And the court of inquiry, a lot of the vets are angry that their testimony was altered or it wasn't included. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. I heard that, but no, I didn't get into that part of it. No, I really don't. I heard it that. So
yeah.
It's certainly could have been, but I did not delve into that. I really didn't.
I understand. So you didn't prepare a report for the director or anything?
No. I was really working for some of his minions. If I was working for anybody, it wasn't an official. I had no official request to do anything, and so what I did is just to discuss and go over things that people were what they'd come up with, the facts. Bearing on the problem and so forth, the build-up, what had happened, the chronology, things of that sort. That was all.
And you must have discussed this with some of your colleagues.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
They were happy that that there was an answer, or maybe unhappy that the Israelis were saying that it was an accident.
Well, that was... we talked about that. it just did not appear that there was a good scenario here for an accident.
Yeah, I have to tell you that Mike Levin told me recently that there was nothing in NSA records or CIA, for that matter, which said that this was deliberate. So that's an unfortunate conclusion on his part.
Well, you may be right. I wasn't making the records. I was just looking in on what had happened, but I certainly saw enough staff studies, individual and all that were being done, just to do things in a meticulous, correct way. So I'm very surprised there'd be nothing in the records.
Was there any hope among your colleagues that someday the truth of this would come out, considering that you knew what that truth was?
Well, I don't know. I guess I did, but I'd hope some other truths would come out that never did, so I just wasn't on totally different things. So I wasn't surprised.
Ollie, is there a bio of you somewhere that I could gain access to, or that you could email me or something of that sort? Or maybe you could just tell me
the high point. I don't know. I've probably got some bios. It'd probably be easier that way, but there's some short bios in Sacred Secrets in that book. The Army had one.
What, the Association of the U.S. Army magazine?
That was in there. Actually, it was in the school had one.
The Army Intelligence School?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, they had a real good one.
They did.
But I've got some here. If you can't find one, I can dig one out and get it to you.
Well, that would be terrific. Of course, you'll be able to tell the guys when they come to talk to you, I guess. But were there any names used on any of these tapes, or were they just code IDs, flight names, that type of thing?
No names that I recall. Mm-hmm.
And no indication of who ordered it?
No, huh?
No,
it wasn't anything where you were getting the normal from headquarters out type thing. It didn't. The things seldom work that way when you have people scrambling, there's a firefight going on. You sometimes kind of lose track of what's the route back to any headquarters.
Right.
It's just right there, what's happening.
Was it your impression that they were trying to sink our ship?
Well, you kind of had to think that. You kind of had to think that with all that was going on.
Four machine guns against all that armament.
That's right. and torpedo boats, and you know, this is that's pretty exciting if you're on the receiving end and you're outgunned and outmanned and out everything there. Just like the guys who were there have testified.
Were you communicating at all, or was NSA communicating with the ship itself?
I do not know what the situation was. They certainly could have, but I don't know that they were. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. They could. We've had this worldwide communications network.
The Trishcom part of that, right?
Well, I don't even remember the names now, but we had the ability with anything like that to go round robin to all of our facilities, and just like the Navy used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could pick up the stuff that was for them. So there was that capability, but I do not remember at all what happened.
Mm-hmm. And just to underscore that, you either can't talk about or don't know about the reported submarines in the area or the super constellation that was said to be flying above.
Let's put it this way: I knew about. Not about the subs. I had no particular interest in that, but unless it was somebody else's subs, you know, or if there was, but no, I was looking at those things that centered on this incident, you know, that looked like they really had something to do with it. A lot of activity in that area.
Right, yeah. One of the things, according to...
A lot of activity.
Mr. Bamford says in his new book that one part of the activity was the execution of Egyptian POWs by the Israelis, and that maybe that's a reason why they would want to sink the ship to keep America from hearing about it.
Well, I don't put much faith in anything Bamford says, but that's right.
You don't?
No.
Okay. So on that point in particular, you couldn't comment?
No, because I enjoy a number of people who are true historians. I'll stop right there.
Okay, I hear you. Do you know anything at all about the recall of the U.S. jets by Washington while the attack was still going on?
No. I'm sure that I may have been aware that you, as you say that, something tickles my memory, but that... To me, did not enter in as a big thing. The damage was pretty much done, you know, at that point. But
mm-hmm.
No, I don't recall. I know something like that happened, but don't recall the details at all.
Okay, and just finally, did the views of Mr. Carter and Tordella and Dealey, et cetera, and Mr. I can't remember his name, your successor. Did those views about the deliberateness of the attack essentially come as a result of your probe into these aspects of the liberty?
Well, it came as a result of their probe into the same things that I looked at.
Oh, they were all looking at the same things. Okay.
The same stuff, yeah.
And then there was a 1981 report by Mr. Gerhardt that came out of NSA on the liberty. Do you know anything about that?
Don't recall it, no. It certainly could have, but no, I don't recall that.
Yeah.
In 81, I'm trying to think, what was I?
Gerhardt or Gerhan, something like that.
Gerhardt.
Yeah.
It was Gerhardt. Now I know where he was. He was in the section that was dealing with that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall. I think there were probably other incidental reports that people came up with occasionally, several of them. But I don't recall anything was earth-shattering.
Does it strike you as surprising that after all this time, the report that he put out in 81 is still so heavily redacted? For people who want to file a FOIA request and such.
No, it's on that subject, and they're trying to dig into it. They'll be looking for everything. I understand that. So if it bore the names, it's in the files, then you'd expect that they want to see what was in it.
Mm-hmm. You'd expect that the NSA would want to keep them from seeing it.
Maybe. I don't think they had that much of a problem. In other words, I'm not aware that there was a big hush order out on this thing.
A big what?
Big hush order.
But you don't think there was a big hush order?
Not for the people who were involved. There may have been some that don't publish orders further up the line, but I don't know. I just don't know. That was not really what I was looking into.
Of course, the Liberty guys were told to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And they did until, I guess, in 1982 or so. That's when they had their first reunion here in D.C.
Yeah, well, that's about the time that things did begin to happen. But no, for the officials who were involved, I didn't get the sidelong eyeball contacts when we were talking. It was just amongst us guys, and it was very straightforward.
Mm-hmm. It was very straightforward.
I'm used to the others. I can tell you the other anytime it happens.
Right.
If somebody was trying to play games, I didn't know that.
So the consensus in the agency was that there was no mistake.
The consensus was it was hard to buy that there was a mistake.
Well, that seems to cover the waterfront.
Right.
Okay. Thank you again. You're a complete gentleman, and you take good care. I hope I don't have to call and pester you anymore.
Well, I mean, if you have to, when you're digging into something, things come up, and you haven't quite turned that corner before. I understand that.
Thanks so much. And you just for the record, you spent how long with NSA?
Well, let me think. Well, I helped form it.
That was like in the late 40s, right?
I stayed there until, I think I left in 63.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all the information in the bio that specific date, but I think it was about that time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you have a chance to get some of that basic bio stuff together,
I'll be back looking.
That's very good. I'll talk to you then. I'll with a follow up on
okay.
that. You take care.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
So I have an address.
Oh, I will give you the address now. Sure. This is David Walsh here in Washington for Oliver. Is he?
In just a moment.
Thank you.
Hi,
how are you?
Okay.
Thanks for trying to call me back earlier.
Okay.
I have a couple more questions.
By the way, I have
sure.
just started looking stuff up, so I'll get you something sometime.
Okay. Okay. Very, very good. What I wanted to find out was let's just make it my note here. When you left there, you were the assistant director for production.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And General Morrison took over from.
Right, Johnny Morrison. Mm-hmm.
And were there any classifications that were put on the documents that you saw the typescripts? Were they Savin or were they something else?
I don't remember. I mean, there must have been something, but you know, when we went into some of those rooms, everything was classified, so you didn't say they weren't stamped necessarily.
They weren't.
No, but they thought they were being handled as, because we were in the area where all the stuff was handled as classified.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's where I first looked at them, but I don't remember. I don't know what happened after that. I really don't.
Right. Were these made before or during the attack? These recordings that you saw the transcripts for?
They were made during.
During.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been some before also, but I don't recall that, but they were made during.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was interesting about them, yeah.
And were these or are these considered raw reports or given the high credibility as, this is, the true real deal here?
Well, these were considered to be valid or authentic and therefore high reliability reporting of what was going on, yeah.
Right. Was there anything in these that you saw relating to one of the most terrible aspects of the whole damn thing was the machine gunning the life rafts?
I don't recall anything about that. I know that that was, I can remember when we were talking about that, that was one of the things that had happened, but there was, I don't remember anything specific about that. I really don't.
Okay. Nothing. I mean, afterwards, you probably heard scuttlebutt about it.
Yes, I did afterwards, but not at the time.
Yeah. Anything you heard in-house among people who were knowledgeable or had informed speculation about it?
Not that I recall. Not that I recall. I really don't. I think everybody was really more preoccupied with what had happened. Now, if it had been something like that, that really was, and to me, that would have made a horrendous impression. But I heard more about it later, but I did not hear about it when I was talking to the guys.
When did you read Jim Ennis' book, by the way?
Oh, gee. He sent me a copy...
Some years ago.
A couple or so years ago. He called me and we talked about it. And so I received a copy. In fact, I was looking for it back there in my my mess the other day, and I couldn't find it, but I'll find it eventually.
He said that you told him that you had an absolute certainty that that they knew they were attacking an American ship.
Well, I felt that from listening to the whole thing, yeah.
Right. It seems unquestionable otherwise.
And that's the one thing he was remembering. He said if he was going to use any quotes, he would use that one. That I had the absolute certainty that they knew what they were attacking.
Are you in touch with any of the guys from the old days who may have been involved in creating or taking down this product?
No. No, I once I bowed out of the place, I don't, let's put it this way, if there's something that I need to do or I'm asked to do, I've gone back and done a number of historical things, because I'm the history in many cases, I've never gotten together with the guys who were involved after this whole thing was over, huh?
Have you done any writing in-house on historical issues, either the
literary? On historical issues, I've been a lot of writing my own, yes, and on other things I have done some, but I'm writing a lot of stuff, which is just my own. What happened, how did it happen, etc. So that people won't try to remake history sometime in the future. I'm not even going to use it, but it'll be available if somebody, and probably I'll give it the agency to store away when I'm gone. But I'm not. I am doing that, that's about all.
I did go to the NSA site, and I noticed General Morrison there. There's a bio on him, but I was looking for you, and I couldn't find it.
There's something up on one of the floors. There's a whole bunch of stuff on me.
No, what I mean is the website for
NSA
website.
No, I try to stay away from a lot of stuff like that. I never was for publicity. The publicity I've gotten into has been always for cause, and I would rather keep it that way.
Right.
So that's this one. There's been a fair amount of publicity. You couldn't help it happening. So that's I just accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't run away from it. I just don't go for it.
Yeah.
And I've given no information to be put on any website anywhere.
Right. No. It would be nice to be able to find. In fact, when I went to do a search through Google, that big engine, the big search engine. There was something mentioning you, probably in connection with the Schechters and Venona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was about it. It was sort of sparse, if you
That's
will.
Right. No, it's deliberately that way.
Did they ever... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just haven't wanted to push a lot of stuff up front. I did what I did. I'm very proud of it. And there are records here and there that sort of... lay out the path that was taken and what all I did. So that's, I think that's fine.
Is there any, if you will, grandchild or child of the AGTR programs that do something similar?
Not that I know of. I really don't. I've not. There must have been, I'm sure that ships were still being equipped with the capabilities, but I don't believe there was any follow-on of the technical research ships.
Due to the Pueblo and the Liberty.
Right.
Could they capture video? Do they capture video images in addition to audio signals?
Yes, for whatever we had available in those days, yeah. There was some tremendous wideband capability here.
How far was the range of the satellite and the microwave dish and all of that? I know that you bounce signals off of the moon with those things, which is, seems astounding even now, but were they in a position to, I guess they heard tactical intelligence rather than strategic?
Yeah, that's what they were there for. It was for the local stuff. They did not, they weren't equipped to handle or to look for except on an experimental basis. Sometimes you put special stuff on board to do research jobs.
Yeah.
They were research ships. In addition to the name that was given to them, they were actually research ships.
And, of course, the cover story got blown. It turned out that it was a reconnaissance ship, but the Navy was saying, well, it was, there was a war zone there. We're trying to have a ship that can take Americans off and things like that.
I never knew about that part, but they were technical reconnaissance ships or research ships. They were called both things from time to time.
Do you think there's a much chance that the Israelis didn't know what it was? Or what I mean is know that it was in the area.
Let's just put it that way. They're really good, and I didn't think that their goodness stopped when it came to those ships being in the area.
Right.
That just was, I took it as a given. I don't have any proof of it. I just took that as a given, like I did so many other things.
The Israeli, if you will, the apologists, like Judge Crystal, say that, in fact, the Israelis had identified it correctly early in the morning, and then it got moved from the plotting chart, and then there was a lot of confusion and this type of
stuff. I remember there are various stories, yeah, I know. I find it very, very difficult to believe that this was it was all accidental and all. All these things happened in such a way that it totally obliterated a fact that was very well known at the beginning of the day.
Yeah. And the...
That's about far as I like to go.
Right. I understand that. And you said that you might be able to find something else by way of background on you, or maybe think of...
Yes, I'm looking. I've got some bios someplace back here, and I said just start looking later today. But I really haven't had that much time to do it, but I will find some.
No, I understand. I'll
get you one of the sort of standard bios that's got more than you'll need in it, and I'll let you have that.
That would be the one from the Army Intelligence School or something like
that? No, it'll be one that I don't know where it's from. Somewhere I have a folder of different ones that were prepared, and there's some of them that are...
But deliberate. Incident. Is that a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement. They are all having tremendous difficulty in understanding how you could put together any series of things and come up with this was a big accident.
Right.
I mean, this is one of these things that you strain at the ridiculous.
I think that the way the former director Helms put it was that pulling a rather long bow.
That's right.